What's up, everybody? This is episode 85 of ZK Live. We are coming from the Tesla supercharging station at 9:45 at night on a Tuesday night. I had to cancel with my guest originally because we had a long day. But I have to charge up the Tesla for tomorrow. I don't have a charger at my house yet. Still waiting on an electrician to call me back. So I figured while I'm here, I'll set up the camera. I have another phone with its light shooting at me, so we're not completely in the dark. And there's a few things I was thinking about that I decided I would just talk about. If people have questions or want to chime in, you know, we'll kind of keep this a free-flowing session. But I just completed a day. I've been thinking a lot about the cycles of business, where I've come from, where our company was 7 years ago to where we are today, how we got here, and sort of comparing and contrasting early stages of my company to what it looks like today. And definitely these late nights, so like I'm still working. Like I had to get the trailer. I had to go back for, today was a long day. So got up this morning, got to the shop early, loaded up the trailer, and then headed down to New York City with a truck and a huge trailer that's like 12 feet tall. I think it's like 12 feet tall. So it was a stressful trip getting all the way down there. You know, you can't follow Waze. It's a whole thing because of the height of the trailer. So I finally got back to the shop. But kind of what I want to talk about is sort of the stresses and the working late stuff. If I'm all over the place right now because I'm just like fired up. But yeah, no parkways, only expressways for me today. The paint supply here is, we buy all of our paint from Fine Paints of Europe, so all of our paint has not been an issue. We've been getting paint steadily the entire time. Very lucky for that. But anyway, it was a long day, and I had a decision to make as to whether I just went straight home tonight and then dealt with a bunch of stuff in the morning, or, you know, I'm lucky that I'm in a position today where I can, you know, take care of this stuff tonight. It feels very much like early stages of my company. Those first few years, let's even just say the first 5 years, they were really bad. Even the first 7 years were, you know, still, you know, barely getting better with forever. I just used time. Time was my like flexible thing. I was always willing to put as many hours into a job as it took to get it done, which meant I worked a lot of late hours. I glorified this for many years. I thought it was an awesome thing to be working tons of hours and being like super proud to be like, yeah, man, I worked till, you know, whatever it is. And today I don't see it that way. Like, yeah, like I think it's great to work hard. I think it's insanely important. It's great to work hard. Of course, you have to work hard. But I know for myself, if I had limited the ability to just put more hours into a job, or work myself just working more hours, if I had limited that, if I had a spouse that limited that, or I had some circumstance that limited that, it would have been good. I think it would have made me more efficient and better at executing. And so for many years, I would work late into the evening, sometimes into the night, and I just thought it was awesome. I mean, I guess I had to, otherwise I wouldn't have kept doing it. But I think now in hindsight, it was hurting me. It stunted my growth as a company. It allowed me to have a lot of bad habits and never correct them because I would just work more hours. And, you know, I think that the idea of hard work is obviously a fundamental part of the American spirit, if you will, and I think I'm a huge advocate for it. But when you're working, trying to build a business, sometimes just putting more hours in, like sheer hours to get through a task, is not the answer, at least in my humble opinion. You know, today I have an amazing team of, like Abby just said, just hire people better than you or teach them how and enjoy yourself. That's what I finally figured out was, how to find the right people. We have an unbelievable team, you know? And so these late nights of me running around like I am right now, I mean, I'm sitting here charging a Tesla, but I'm running around. I got back to the shop. I went from the shop. I loaded the trailer, with a piece of furniture. I drove the piece of furniture with my truck to the Tesla charging station, dropped off the trailer, because I didn't have a ton of charge on my Tesla at the place it was being lettered at. So I drove 30 minutes to the place where it got lettered up today. I dropped off my truck because it's going to be debadged tomorrow. Switched out the hitch. That was a nightmare, and I almost had to quit. Getting the hitch on this Tesla, it wasn't quite fitting with this plastic bumper thing in the way, and it was a nightmare. But I finally got it in the rain, hooked it up, and then I've now drove back here. I'm charging my Tesla for tomorrow. I'm going to pick up the trailer when I leave here in an hour or so and tow the trailer with the Tesla for the first time. I'm so nervous. It should all be good, but still, it's crazy to me that they just let you tow things without like some special license. But they do. They just let you tow things. So I think I've checked all the boxes. I'm going to do a little test drive around the parking lot. But yes. So, but back to my point, like, tonight is a night where, like, yes, I can feel good about, like, yes, I'm being efficient with, I got a ton of stuff done today that needed to get done. But if I were to just glorify this as like, oh, this is so cool. Look at me. I'm working till 11 o'clock at night and getting home and waking up and doing it again tomorrow. Like, then I wouldn't get better. And so this is kind of, I haven't had nights like this very often in the last few years. I have an amazing team of people who supports me and pushes this company forward, isn't in charge of a lot of the production. And so these types of things don't happen very often, luckily. But even when they do, now my thought is like, okay, let me look backwards. What got me here? You know, what was the origin of me getting home tonight at midnight, versus getting home at 6:30, 7 o'clock. And even then that's later than I try to usually get home, but like what happened there? And, you know, it was sort of a series of events where there were certain things where I was a bottleneck to it, right? I was going to be the bottleneck to getting to New York with this countertop and delivering this table tomorrow. I'm probably still the bottleneck. I probably should have addressed that sooner. I think going forward, I'm going to be meeting with Carney on Thursday, talking about planning like we always do now weekly. And I need to figure out where am I the bottleneck to stuff and determine if that's like the best we can do. If there's a way that I can get out of the way and not be a bottleneck as much, and how I can like keep the company moving forward and not holding us back. Because, you know, if I have to get a paintbrush out and paint something, that's not good for our company anymore. If I'm like in the case of the delivery of this countertop, like, yeah, like the client agreed to pay a significant transportation fee. I thought that's going to be awesome. No sweat. In hindsight, you know, when it comes time to do it, you're like dreading it. Cause I didn't really want anybody else to be driving in New York with the truck and the trailer and the heights and the stresses and all those things. I had to be the one right now, but I need to make sure that I'm not the one going forward. or my goal as a business owner is to stop being the one for as many things as I can find someone as good as me or better as possible. Yeah, Bresson said all this Tesla and long hours talk. From what I know about Elon, he works long hours often also. Someone send him this live link. He should get in this meeting. Yeah, we should get Elon Musk in this live discussion. I think he would really love to talk to me. No. But I love his vehicle. I'll tell you that. I am in love with this Model Y. It's beyond my wildest dreams. Driving in it is so much less stress. It drives through traffic. Wow. And it cost me the same as my Tundra with the gas savings. So definitely a huge fan of this purchase so far. But I did call. Yeah, Bresson asked me if I called Elon to help with the hitch. Yeah, it went to voicemail, though. I don't know. But yes, let's see. I missed some other people said stuff. Yeah, I work a ton, but I try to be very cautious with how effective I'm being with my time. And am I the best person to be doing this? So back to the original topic, like when you're the business owner, yes, everything stops at me. Like all the problems go up the chain. You know, as John Shearer says, we eat problems for breakfast. That's what a business owner's job is. And I'm completely cool with that. But if we keep having the same problems all the time, that's going to be an issue. I'm not cool with fixing the same problems all the time. But trying to like be as effective with my time and with the problem solving as possible is something that I'm constantly thinking about as we continue to grow and there's more demands on my time and more opportunity, which is amazing. It means that like you have to stop and be like a lot more intentional, I think. Which is an interesting thing. Like when I got into this business, I started painting for myself to eat, like, period. To pay my rent, to put gas in my car, and to have like a way to survive life is like where I was at when I started my painting company. You know, $0, $1,000 Ford Taurus, a little giant ladder, like just survival mode. Which, you know, that's cool. That's awesome. Like many people start like that. But the mindset and the thinking, the way of thinking that I had then is not going to be the way of thinking that's going to get me to the next level. Right. And smarter people than myself have taught me that. And you start to see, or as you reflect, I'm starting to see I've noticed this for many years now, of all of the things that the bad habits and the bad routines and the bad standards, or let's just say like not ideal, that my company had as a standard because I was coming from a place of like just trying to survive. And so you have a bunch of norms there, right? And you're doing your thing and you're growing and you're trying to get to the next level, but you're doing a bunch of things and they become normal. And then as I started to have employees, but I was paying them under the table and, wasn't filing taxes. And like all of these things made it so that I had a bunch of like ways of going about my life and my business that were fine for that stage. But if I wanted to go to the next stage, I need to change them. Right. John Shearer famously, John Shearer has told me this many times. I look up to that guy so much. And he would always say, like, what you're doing at under 500,000 in revenue, whatever you're doing there, you need to do something very different as an owner to go to 1 million. And from 1 million to 2 million, you better be doing something very different as an owner. And that's what I'm always thinking about now. I'm not always thinking about it. It's a complete lie because I'm half the time you're just in it. You don't have time to think. But I did a lot of driving today. I had a lot of time to think. I don't listen to the radio. I listen to podcasts while I drive, but sometimes I just do it silently. And I was driving, I don't know, what did I drive, 7 or 8 hours today? It's a lot of time to think. And, you know, I don't want to be, my wife's at home, tomorrow is our anniversary. Like, I don't want to be here right now charging my Tesla, but it's where I need to be right now. What I can do is go, well, what can I do for the future so that I don't end up here, or I don't end up here as often? And I don't know, for me, it starts with like telling the part of my brain that wants to glorify this to shut up. Like, this is not cool that I ended up working till midnight tonight. Like, that's not cool. I have a family, I have a wife and a dog, and I love them, and I don't get to see them, and it's just like, no, I don't think this is like the goal, but this has to get done, you know. And so, or I could, you know, kick the can till tomorrow and then be chasing from the time I wake up, sprinting all over the world tomorrow, doing all the things I'm doing tonight, tomorrow, while I have a bunch of meetings set up all over the place. And, you know, then I get start squeezing and things were going to go wrong. And I've learned that through experience, that if I could do it now and, you know, it doesn't affect it, anything too badly tonight, you know, I was going to get home somewhat late anyway, might as well do it. But, you know, it just got me thinking, like, how do I prevent this? And I think reflecting with Carney on Thursday about where are the bottlenecks, where is my time best spent, and where are the places where I could replace me or get a second person that could also do those things. And then spending more time thinking ahead. That's another thing. I'm usually pretty good at that, but I got caught off guard with these two projects. What we're going to do going forward, I can already tell, is I'm going to do a lot more forecasting the future. Like, what are the next 2 weeks look like for the company? You know, where when it was just me and a couple people, like, those things were so obvious. I was in every aspect of my company all the time. But now as we get bigger, I'm not touching every part of the company all the time. And so my ways of thinking and of living and running a business when we were doing under a million are not going to help me get to 2 million. Right. You know, if we'll do 1.3 this year, maybe a little more, maybe a little less. It's hard to say because I don't stop to look at the numbers enough. But all I know is that this is like, in my life, things like this, I've learned to start to sort of like notice them more. Notice like and go, well, what can I do to make sure this doesn't happen again? Where I think in the past, I was much quicker to glorify unhealthy behaviors or like non-best practice behaviors, glorify them so that I didn't have to change, if that makes any sense. I mean, I have to drink lukewarm seltzer. Like, what am I doing with my life? While I charge my Tesla. Like, God, first world problems. I know. I get it. You know, but the point is, like, I think as business owners, we have these moments where, like, all right, I got to bust out extra time out of my schedule to go fix this thing. When I talk to the higher level guys, I feel like there's less of that. You know, they fill in where they need to, but there's more systems and processes and stop gaps to prevent things like this from happening. And I'm noticing that as we grow, where most of our jobs are large. And so I don't feel a lot of this pain of these things happening because they're large and they are much more easily predictable. But when we start to do like a lot of the shop work, which is smaller projects for us, you know, few thousand dollars, at, you know, $3,000 to $10,000 is the average shop project, much smaller than our average site project, which means we need to be treating the shop differently I need to be treating the shop differently. I need to be helping and supporting my team there, because I can see that it doesn't run. I'm noticing, like, right now as we talk, that's why I love doing these, like, it doesn't run the same way as the rest of my company does and all of our site work does. So I'm going to have to, like, go back and watch this, or have Carney go back and rewatch this before our meeting on Thursday, because I'm not taking notes, because I have my hand holding my other phone so that you guys don't have to stare at me like this. How about that production value? Yes, as I was driving today, I was driving in the truck, so I couldn't, but tomorrow I will be downloading more leadership books, and continuing to study leadership. Let's keep talking about, let's go there. So last week we've decided that, you know, it's essential now as we try to grow this company or build the base to grow, that quarterly reviews with all of our employees are important. Weekly lead team meetings are happening now every week. Two standing meetings that Carney and I have happen every week. And so we had our first one-to-ones with the team. I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I think Carney doesn't either. We've never done them. And so we didn't handle them awesome. Like, I would say we got a D for our one-to-ones. Like, when I look back a year from now at how we're doing our one-to-ones versus our first ones, it's going to be quite a night and day. But, you know, it is what it is. We have to start someplace. So we started. And most of them went pretty well, but one of them went pretty poorly. Totally Carney and I's fault. Like, just nothing that we wanted to get accomplished in the meeting got accomplished. It turned out to be, in hindsight, it was just like, it felt to that person like we were just trashing them the whole time, and which was not our intention to make them feel like we didn't value them highly and that they were, like, awesome and it was just a couple little things we wanted to straighten out. That did not come across in our one-to-one. I felt horrible for how it went, and rightfully so. That person was not very happy about how it went that night and the next day. And, you know, that's one of those things where I had to be very clear. Like, I made a mistake. That was not our intentions. Like, but these are the kinds of things that I wanted to avoid for many years, right? Sitting down doing, like, scheduled quarterly one-to-ones was not something that I wanted to do. But if I want to get to the next level, has to be one of the many things that will have to change, right? Because we're at a point now where for me to be in close contact with everybody in our company doesn't make sense. I need to be dealing with the leads mostly, and then the painters and the apprentices a little bit less than if I was a 3-person company. I'd be on the site with them all the time. And if I want to go to a 20-person company, I'm definitely going to need to have systems and processes in place so that I don't need to be in contact with every person in my company on a daily or, you know, intense basis. So that was definitely, like, a huge lesson. If anyone had a camera on how that meeting went, they would have thought we were psychos. I'm so embarrassed for how it went. I have a lot to think about. We've definitely identified some things that we're going to do differently, to make sure that it doesn't happen again. And it was, like, all in all, it was a great learning lesson. And I feel really bad for, you know, upsetting that person for that 24 hours. But I think that we've cleared it up. And it just makes me think a lot about, you know, I finally have the courage enough to believe that we could take this company to another level. That for so long I was too afraid of all of the stuff that of the one-to-ones and all of the structure and the systems and the planning and all of the things that I, you know, it's not what I got into this business to do. I have to learn it. So I used to look at that and go, well, I don't want a large company and make up a bunch of BS reasons why. The truth was I was just afraid to change. I was afraid of the idea of the pain of change. And, you know, whether you want to have a large company or not, that doesn't really matter. But hopefully more people cannot be making those decisions out of fear, the way I did for such a long time. Somebody just said over 20 people watching in your car talk as it charges. You're doing something right. Apparently, man. I'm like, these comments are so good. I should be paying attention to them as I talk. Problem is, I just get on a thing and go. Do you do leadership training for your leads? We don't. And leadership training is going to be something that we're definitely going to be looking into, because that's definitely going to be something that helps us get to the next level. Awesome. If you find a book you like, can you share? It's been a while since we've been to a ZK book club meeting. Yes, I will definitely share the books. The last leadership book I read was Jocko Willink's books. I think he has multiple books I read. They were awesome. Breston said that's awesome. Getting uncomfortable to get it sorted. Abby smiling here a lot. Performance reviews are by semester and yearly. It's very dangerous. You can kill an employee emotionally if he do not be, and he will not be productive at all. Yeah. That's like the whole point of the one-to-one is to, like, I want to hear from my people, like, what can we do better? I want to, like, develop a rapport, and I want to, like, start to have, like, metrics that we measure people on. And instead, I walked out of this meeting having, like, just torn somebody down and beaten like two minor points to death, like to death. And then I was like, oh, I have to go live. Sorry. See you later. Go home now and think about, like, what a ridiculous way to go about it. But, you know, we're new to it. And so when you first start doing it, you're not going to be awesome. Oh, man. Yeah, McDermott. You know what, Gus? I'm going to reach out to you. Gus has an unbelievable company with 38 painters, and what a team. And I don't know. Sorry, I just finished reading all the comments now. But yeah, I think self-reflection and honesty, like real hard honesty, are like key pieces to success. You know, I don't think I made that up. Convince me I'm wrong. Maybe I am, but I know for me in my life, the more I'm able to honestly look at what I'm doing and, you know, assess it with clarity and without emotion wrapped up in it, the better off I am. And, you know, it's like just trying to get continuous improvement, right? That's one of our core values, is continuous improvement. And that's for all things in life. And I don't know, as I sit here, I'm reminded of how often this would happen in the early days. And so it like kind of feels like nostalgic and like good in a way that I'm a little embarrassed by, because for so many years it held me back, because it was a scapegoat, it was a cop out where I could just be like, oh yeah, I work so late, feel so good about it, instead of being like, dude, what am I doing? I should try to not do this again. I never said that for a long time. So you're never going to get better if you're not honest with if I'm not honest with the things that I'm doing that are not best practice, how am I ever going to get better? And I, like I said, I'm just trying to trend up. If I can just do a little bit better this year than I did last year and add those up, or day after day and add those up, you know, I think that I'll be doing pretty well. And, you know, I'm lucky that I have this platform. Everyone has, but we should, hopefully we all have, I mean, this is not my only way to get this stuff off my chest. I talk to lots of people, but I get to talk to a bunch of people on here. And that's, you know, I'm forever grateful for the Instagram community and the ability to talk to other people and to learn from them and to be inspired by them. And I was talking to a painter today who said that they first started following me years ago and respected what we were doing and me, because I was telling the truth about our mistakes. And anyone who's followed me for long enough knows that we're pretty open with sharing the mistakes that we make, and more particularly mistakes I make. I try to be open about that, because I don't know, if I hide that stuff, when you hide the mistakes, it's a lot harder to address them and fix them, right? And I think I had a rich history of hiding and covering up my mistakes with other explanations. And so I never got better. For many, many years, I stayed in this stagnant spot. And I had all these dreams, and I was working really hard till midnight. What the heck? I'm not going anywhere. And it was only when I finally like started to change the way I was looking at life. I'm by no means, you know, on top of the world, but I'm doing way better today than I was 7 years ago. And that's because I finally got real and was like, what can I do to get to a spot where I want to be? What am I doing that's not working? And I will share. So, and it all comes around. I think that's why I'm thinking about a lot of this stuff. Like, I'm not sure I would have thought about this as being an old habit or routine, except for, I had a crazy phone call with an old client from 7.5, 8 years ago. Must have been at least 7 years ago. It's a job I think about every week. It was the worst job we've ever had. Some of the biggest mistakes I have ever made. Definitely letting down an amazing client. I got kicked off the job eventually. Eventually they were just like, don't come back. Like, it was a huge project that I took on early in my career, restoring an old church. And I knew how to do the work. Like, I knew how to strip lead paint and restore wood, and I knew the coating process that I wanted to use with the wood preservative and the oil primer, and I knew all of that. But I had never done I've never ran a project near the size of this project. And so I ran it into the ground. I mismanaged timelines. I mismanaged mostly expectations. I massively undermanaged my clients' expectations as far as timeline and budget was concerned. I went to a meeting at one point to tell them we needed to leave the house in primer over the winter. And I walked out of that meeting agreeing to paint the house before winter. It was a huge, huge mistake. If I want to boil it down to one thing, it was not sticking to my guns and like sitting in the uncomfortability of the bad news. But, you know, keeping the relationship going. And rather than have that hard conversation, I got talked into, or didn't stand up for my thesis that we couldn't finish in time. Which we couldn't. It was an insane task to try to finish in time. But I went through everything possible to try. We had massive amount of scaffolding set up for months. But it was a huge waste of money. Should never have set up scaffolding that way. Could have bought it for the price that we rented it for. We wrapped the entire front of this house. It was a church, so it was a big, tall steeple in the front. We wrapped three stories of staging in 6 mil plastic, and it went, we had two stories in 6 mil plastic, and it went 4 stories up. So if anyone knows how scaffolding works, running a tarp across the top of a scaffolding halfway through it doesn't work. So you have to have joints at every pole. Well, we spent days making this enclosure that was airtight and almost airtight and watertight so that we could heat the inside at night and try to dry out the wood so we could try to paint it during the day. It was ludicrous. Anyway, I've told this story before, but eventually on December, I don't know, 7th or something, December 15th or some insanely late date, it rained one night. And hundreds of gallons of water got stuck on the roof of this plastic, smell plastic thing. And I was there all night running up and down scaffolding. And the client, I mean, I can't believe they put up with me for as long as they did, finally was like, look, get out of here. Talk to our lawyers. We don't want to talk to you anymore. I was devastated at the time. I was out of control. I needed someone to tell me to stop. I should have stopped at that meeting and said, let's wrap this up. Let's put a bow on it. We'll come back in the spring. I didn't. And so I was just like chasing an impossible task. Anyway, I've driven by this house many times. Somebody else got to take credit for this amazing restoration. Like world class. I mean, it was a perfect restoration. The windows got restored by a window restorationist. We took every ounce of lead paint off of this crazy house. We put a wood preservative on the bare wood, oil primer, and we were supposed to put 2 top coats on. And it was going to be the best paint job you could ever give. Well, somebody else got to come in that next spring and simply put top coat on all of our hard work. Hundreds and hundreds of hours of our hard work grinding and scraping and stripping lead paint. And somebody else got to go put their sign in the yard, is on a main street, put their sign in the yard and put the final coats on that paint job. And I couldn't drive anywhere near that for two years. Like, it devastated me. And then it was published in all sorts of magazines, and, you know, and it was like my brainchild. I came up with this idea to do the full restoration, and it was all, but I had messed up so badly, I was not a part of it. Well, I got a call from that client over 7 years later now. And she said, everyone has told me, she has 2 gloss fine paints of Europe doors that, somebody messed up real badly. I don't need to get into all that. But I have an opportunity now. So she called around and everyone told her, we were the guys, call ZK, call Zach. They're the people for these doors. And she said, I've been stalking you on social media. I'm really proud. I'm so awesome to see you doing so well. I've determined that you are probably the best guy to do this project. And I was really nervous about calling you. And I was like, I've considered calling her hundreds of times in the last 7 years, hundreds of times, you know. Now I've gotten clean. You know, I was smoking pot and going to the bars every single night during that project. No wonder I wasn't doing well. You know, now I've been clean over 6 years, and many times I wanted to call her in early recovery and be like, just so you know, I was a drug addict. I couldn't stop. I wasn't of sound mind. That's why I didn't do well. I hope you still will think of me. I'm doing well. But like, and I knew that's not what you're supposed to do. That's not what the program teaches. That none of that would have been good. And so I'm really glad that I didn't end up calling to like try to prove that I was doing though. I was better and I wasn't that same guy that let you down. I just had to like let time, right? Like karma and time play out. Like kept doing the next right thing, kept doing the next right thing. And to the point now where I get to go back. I'm going to restore those 2 front doors, high gloss, Rembrandt red. It's going to be unbelievable. She said, I started crying. I was in tears. I had to hold them back. But she was like, you better put your sign out in my yard. And I don't know if she knew how important it was a big deal in my head. I had to drive by this guy's sign for 6 months. They left the sign up forever, it felt like, on a job that I did 90% and definitely all of the hard work we did. And then somebody had to put the icing on the cake. So to get to put, we're going to get a custom sign made. We're getting new signs made, and this is the impetus to do it. And we're going to get to put those signs out on that street. And none of that would have been possible. And I'm going to get to execute at the level that I have wanted to execute for this client 7.5 years ago. But it was only through all of this reflection, this like honesty and what can I do better? Not blaming the world, right? Because I can blame a number of people in that situation. And I did for many years, but it didn't help me get any better. What can I do to get better? What can I do to get rid of some fault that I have? How can I change? And, you know, I'm so grateful that I got to change my way of thinking to start to see things like that. But, you know, it's crazy. I just got distracted by freaking Dino. Happened to a local woodworking company at Bolt Castle in New York. Did 95% of the restoration, and they finished it in the house for 5%. I think that I've made a lot of mistakes. I don't feel bad about that. But everyone makes mistakes. But the question is, like, do we change? Do we adapt? Do we grow? And, you know, I want to keep doing that. I hope in 7 years, which would be crazy, but I hope in 7 years that I can look back on where I stand right now and have made just as much progress as the last 7 years to now. You know, granted, I had a lot of low-hanging fruit that probably made that transition a little more accelerated than the next 7 years, but maybe not. You know, maybe that's not true. There's new low-hanging fruit. It's not as low, but maybe I'm better. I'm getting taller. This analogy's going nowhere. But definitely, like, I think it's helpful to have a lot of time to drive, and I wasn't driving. I was driving with a trailer and a Tundra. So, and in the rain, so I was like 100% focused. I wasn't taking phone calls really. I wasn't looking at my phone. I was driving. And so I think it's valuable to have that time to reflect. I was talking with my wife this weekend about the idea of setting up like individual weekends where we go away by ourselves to like a cabin in the woods with no technology and just like get to be in nature and like think for a couple days, just completely away from everything. I think Jason Paris said he did some version of that, but that idea, like I know personally, I can get in the minutia. I can get so caught up in like, my brain likes to get spun up and like into shit stuff. Like I'm intense and I love being intense and, but that's not healthy. That's not a good place for me to be, even if I like it in the moment. And I've learned that about myself, that I don't want to glorify that getting spun up and obsessive about stuff. I want to try to find more moderation, and I want to slow down more. The more I slow down, the more success I've found. I don't mean don't work hard, but like, just like, right? And it's through doing that where you can have that reflection of like, that's where I get to see clearly my mistakes. You know, if you're just trying to put out fires all the time, you never get to stop and go, well, what caused the fire? And so that balance, like Gus from McDermott said, the life balance. I have been one for sure that when I hear someone talk about work-life balance. Oh, you want to talk about work-life balance? Like, that's one of those carryovers from the early years where I had to glorify no work-life balance in order to justify my existence, because I had no work-life balance. My entire life was working. But just because I had to justify that then doesn't mean I have to today. And, you know, even this is like this conversation. I should give you all copays for listening to me. But it's definitely going to make me think more about, I mean, today has made me think more about leadership books. Leadership was one of those things that I'm way more on board with today. 4 years ago, you would tell me you want, I mean, I remember talking to a guy at a conference and he did this like presentation about leadership. And I was just like, dude, and it came with like a $1,500 or I wanted, I don't remember what, I had this like $1,000 gift card to a leadership training. And I was just like, that is so absurd. The concept of leadership being an important thing or a skill or something you can get better at now I totally get it. It is a skill and it needs to be trained and it's important in an organization. And I think work-life balance is still a little bit behind. That's not true. It's probably farther ahead in my actual practice of life, but in my like studying of it, I think that I've shied away from people talking about work-life balance, because it attacks that old me that needed to be able to glorify working all the time so that I could exist and not have been a failure. Because I mean, I was such a mess. I didn't know what I was doing for so many years that I really did just have to like put in the hours. And now I'm trying to put in very effective, intentional hours. What an interesting word intentional is. That's another thing. One of those words that like, boy, for a long time, the idea of people talking about being intentional made me want to puke. And now I'm like all about it. I'd say that word so much more often. I was a reactive person my entire life. Like I loved it. You know, reacting. Oh, what's that? Bang, 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 bang. Oh, 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 oh. You know, it's like you never have to stop and look around. And, you know, reacting was something I was very comfortable in. I was really good at reacting to things and adapting and in the moment. And I love that. To this day, I still love the rush that comes from having to make up a new plan on the fly. And but that's like, dude, that's not what I want out of my life. Like, I don't want to be that guy, because I can't get as far in life being that guy. I don't know if I've added any value to anyone's life tonight, but hopefully some. Everyone has gone by now. I'm gonna wrap this up. Hopefully I'm charged up by now. Big day tomorrow. About to go hook this thing up and tow a trailer with the Tesla Model Y. This is going to be interesting. Not sure if there's a place to hook the chains. I didn't see that yet. So this is going to be fun. And tomorrow's going to be a great day. I'm going to deliver this piece of furniture, go check on the guys, look at a couple jobs in Boston, and do a minor celebration with my wife for our anniversary. And then Thursday night, we'll go out and have a great night for our anniversary. 3 years being married. It's the best thing I've ever done. I am such a lucky guy to have the wife I have. And now I'm going to go see her. So I hope this helped. This was valuable to somebody. I apologize for not having a guest. Next week, it sounds like we're going to try to bring on 3 people at one time. I believe Instagram has the capability to allow 4 people to stream at once. So we're going to be bringing on David Andreozzi from Andreozzi Architects. He's been on the show a number of times. He's an absolute amazing guy. So much knowledge and passion, and our talks go on forever. But he has a show that he's starting, and he has 2 guests that are other architects. And they're going to try to all come on individually, and we'll have 4 people up on the screen next Tuesday doing a 4-person live with 3 architects. It should be a lot of fun. I hope to see you there. As always, Sunday night Q&A. There's a link in my bio to the Patreon link that will get you into the private Q&A. If you think I've exposed a lot of behind the scenes here. It's way more behind the scenes there, and I answer all of your questions. That's where I like to do the questions, because then it's out there for everybody else to see. I get a lot of DMs, and I often will direct people to the Patreon Sunday night Q&A. I know not everybody can watch it live Sunday night, but a lot of people watch it later in the week or Monday morning. I heard today from a couple people, and you can submit your questions ahead of time. So that's definitely, I would love to see. I think we have 41 patrons right now, which is like crazy. It's an honor. I love my people over there. Like, we have such a good community of people who are always on there sharing and asking questions, and it's tremendous. So, I hope to see more people going over to Patreon and trying it out and see what you think. Love to see more people over there. Paint Nerd Reunion is, although today we haven't like officially announced it. Today I was contemplating changing the name to Paint Con instead of Paint Nerd Reunion, like Comic Con, and like I saw some other name con, and I was like, oh, Paint Con, that'd be pretty cool. It'd be a broader appeal for sure. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on Paint Nerd Reunion versus Paint Con. Unless I hear a million people say Paint Con, it's gonna stay Paint Nerd Reunion. And my phone just died with the oh no, it didn't. Look at that. There's my beautiful face. Paint Con is better than Paint Nerd Reunion, I know. But we already got our logo made, and sunken cost fallacy is a thing, John. I don't want to get caught in the sunken cost fallacy. I think Paint Con is better. I know everyone's going to say that. And I think my gut is we're going to have to switch and eat the cost of the logo being made. But I don't know if that's going to happen. We may try to do Paint Nerd Reunion. Oh, I don't know. You won't wear a Paint Nerd Reunion shirt, but you'll wear a Paint Con shirt. I can't disagree with that. And then we'll start Paint Coin. Oh, dude, I've been looking to start a crypto. No, that's not true at all. I have not been looking to start a crypto. Yeah, so please send me your feedback. I'll probably put a poll up. Carney's going to hate to hear that we wasted the money. If we do end up changing, that we wasted the money on that design. Maybe the Paint Nerd Reunion will turn out to be something else one day. But Paint Con just has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? It sounds like, I'm like, the goal for Paint Con would be to be the greatest and largest painters conference ever to grace this beautiful planet that we're on. I don't know what I'm saying anymore. But anyone who thinks they're good at spraying paint better make it to Paint Nerd Reunion / Paint Con October 16th, 17th, and 18th, because we are having the official, it's going to be the best paint sprayer in America competition. If you come from New England, if you come from Canada, we'll change it to North America. But we are going to be using the virtual reality simulator to get an objective, there's objective scoring built into the simulator, and we're going to have people, everyone who comes to Paint Nerd Reunion will be spraying, getting a score, and the top 16 scores will go into a single elimination tournament, and we have some pretty crazy prizes, pretty big. I can't announce them yet, but there's pretty significant prizes for the top two or three people. So if you think you're good at painting, I can't wait to see who actually is the best sprayer in America. If someone comes from Canada, we'll call it North America. But yes, send me a DM about Paint Con versus everyone that comes to Paint Con. Yes, not PNR. We've been calling it PNR, Paint Nerd Reunion. The link will be up very shortly. We are almost done, and I might just throw a complete wrench in this thing. I don't know. I have to sleep on this. I don't know if I could do that to Carney. And this design, the logo is so cool, but I do like PaintCon. That's got a nice ring to it. So we will see. Everybody, thanks for watching, and I will see you guys Sunday night on the Q&A.